Mapp versus Ohio, Supreme Court of the United States, 1961. Mr. Justice Clark delivered the opinion of the court. Appellant stands convicted of knowingly having had in her possession and under her control certain lewd and lascivious books, pictures, and photographs in violation of Section 2905.34 of Ohio's Revised Code. As officially stated in the syllabus to its opinion, the Supreme Court of Ohio found that her conviction was valid, though based primarily upon the introduction in evidence of lewd and lascivious books and pictures unlawfully seized during an unlawful search of defendant's home. On May 23, 1957, three Cleveland police officers arrived at appellant's residence in that city, pursuant to information that a person was hiding out in the home who was wanted for questioning in connection with a recent bombing, and that there was a large amount of policy paraphernalia being hidden in the home. Miss Mapp and her daughter by a former marriage lived on the top floor of a two-family dwelling. Upon their arrival at that house, the officers knocked on the door and demanded entrance, but appellant, after telephoning her attorney, refused to admit them without a search warrant. They advised their headquarters of the situation and undertook surveillance of the house. The officers again sought entrance some 3 hours later when four or more additional officers arrived on the scene. When Miss Mapp did not come to the door immediately, at least one of the several doors to the house was forcibly opened and the policeman gained admittance. Meanwhile, Miss Mapp's attorney arrived, but the officers, having secured their own entry and continuing in their defiance of the law, would permit him neither to see Miss Mapp nor to enter the house. It appears that Miss Mapp was halfway down the stairs from the upper floor to the front door when the officers, in this high-handed manner, broke into the hall. She demanded to see the search warrant. A paper claimed to be a warrant was held up by one of the officers. She grabbed the warrant and placed it in her bosom. A struggle ensued in which the officers recovered the piece of paper, and as a result of which they handcuffed appellant because she had been belligerent in resisting their official rescue of the warrant from her person. Running roughshod over appellant, a policeman grabbed her, twisted her hand, and she yelled and pleaded with him because it was hurting. Appellant in handcuffs was then forcibly taken upstairs to her bedroom, where the officers searched a dresser, a chest of drawers, a closet, and some suitcases. They also looked into a photo album and through personal papers belonging to the appellant. The search spread to the rest of the second floor, including the child's bedroom, the living room, the kitchen, and a dinette. The basement of the building and a trunk found therein were also searched. The obscene materials, for possession of which she was ultimately convicted, were discovered in the course of that widespread search. At the trial, no search warrant was produced by the prosecution, nor was the failure to produce one explained or accounted for. At best, there is in the record considerable doubt as to whether there ever was any warrant for the search of defendant's home. The Ohio Supreme Court believed a reasonable argument could be made that the conviction should be reversed because the methods employed to obtain the evidence were such as to offend a sense of justice, but the court found determinative the fact that the evidence had not been taken from defendant's person by the use of brutal or offensive physical force against defendant. The state says that even if the search were made without authority or otherwise unreasonably, it is not prevented from using the unconstitutionally seized evidence at trial, citing Wolf versus Colorado, 1949, in which this court did indeed hold that in a prosecution in a state court for state crime, the 14th Amendment does not forbid the admission of evidence obtained by an unreasonable search and seizure. On this appeal, of which we have noted probable jurisdiction, it is urged once again that we review that holding. Part 1. 75 years ago in Boyd versus United States, 1886, considering the Fourth and Fifth Amendments as running almost into each other on the facts before it, this court held that the doctrines of those amendments apply to all invasions on the part of government and its employees of the sanctity of a man's home and the privacies of life. It is not the breaking of his doors and the rummaging of his drawers that constitutes the essence of the offense, but it is the invasion of his indefeasible right of personal security, personal liberty, and private property. Breaking into a house and opening boxes and drawers are circumstances of aggravation but any forcible and compulsory extortion of a man's own testimony or of his private papers to be used as evidence to convict him of crime or to forfeit his goods is within the condemnation of those amendments. The court noted that constitutional provisions for the security of person and property should be liberally construed. It is the duty of courts to be watchful for the constitutional rights of the citizen and against any stealthy encroachments thereon. In this jealous regard for maintaining the integrity of individual rights, the court gave life to Madison's prediction that independent tribunals of justice will be naturally led to resist every encroachment upon the rights expressly stipulated for in the Constitution by the Declaration of Rights. Concluding, the court specifically referred to the use of the evidence there seized as unconstitutional. Less than 30 years after Boyd, this court in Weeks v. United States, 1914, stated that the Fourth Amendment put the courts of the United States and federal officials in the exercise of their power and authority under limitations and restraints and forever secured the people, their persons, houses, papers, and effects against all unreasonable searches and seizures under the guise of law, and the duty of giving to it force and effect is obligatory upon all entrusted under our federal system with the enforcement of the laws. Specifically dealing with the use of evidence unconstitutionally seized, the court concluded, if letters and private documents can thus be seized and held and used in evidence against a citizen accused of an offense, the protection of the Fourth Amendment declaring his right to be secure against such searches and seizures is of no value. And so far as those thus placed are concerned, might as well be stricken from the Constitution. The efforts of the courts and their officials to bring the guilty to punishment, praiseworthy as they are not to be aided by the sacrifice of those great principles established by years of endeavor and suffering, which have resulted in their embodiment in the fundamental law of the land. Finally, the court in that case clearly stated that the use of the seized evidence involved a denial of the constitutional rights of the accused. Thus, in the year 1914, in the Weeks case, this court for the first time held that in a federal prosecution, the Fourth Amendment barred the use of evidence secured through an illegal search and seizure. This court has ever since required of federal law officers a strict adherence to that command, which this court has held to be a clear, specific, and constitutionally required, even if judicially implied, deterrent safeguard without insistence upon which the Fourth Amendment would have been reduced to a form of words. It meant quite simply that conviction by means of unlawful seizures and enforced confessions should find no sanction in the judgments of the courts, and that such evidence shall not be used at all. There are in the cases of this court some passing references to the Weeks rule as being one of evidence, but the plain and unequivocal language of Weeks and its later paraphrase in Wolfe to the effect that the Weeks rule is of constitutional origin remains entirely undisturbed. In Byers v. United States, 1927, a unanimous court declared that the doctrine cannot be tolerated under our constitutional system that evidences of crime discovered by a federal officer in making a search without lawful warrant may be used against the victim of the unlawful search where a timely challenge has been interposed. The court in Olmstead v. United States, 1928, in unmistakable language, restated the Weeks rule. The striking outcome of the Weeks case and those which followed it was the sweeping declaration that the Fourth Amendment, although not referring to or limiting the use of evidence in courts, really forbade its introduction if obtained by government officers through a violation of the amendment. In McNabb v. United States, 1943, we note this statement. A conviction in the federal courts, the foundation of which is evidence obtained in disregard of liberties deemed fundamental by the Constitution, cannot stand. Boyd v. United States, Weeks v. United States, and this court has, on constitutional grounds, set aside convictions both in the federal and state courts, which were based upon confessions secured by protracted and repeated questioning of ignorant and untutored persons, in whose minds the power of officers was greatly magnified, or who have been unlawfully held incommunicado without advice of friends or counsel. Significantly, in McNabb, the court did then pass on to formulate a rule of evidence, saying, in the view we take of the case, however, it becomes unnecessary to reach the constitutional issue, for the principles governing the admissibility of evidence in federal criminal trials have not been restricted to those derived solely from the Constitution. Part 2. In 1949, 35 years after Weeks was announced, this court in Wolf v. Colorado, again for the first time, discussed the effect of the Fourth Amendment upon states through the operation of the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. It said, "We have no hesitation in saying that were a state affirmatively to sanction such police incursion into privacy, it would run counter to the guarantee of the 14th Amendment. Nevertheless, after declaring that the security of one's privacy against arbitrary intrusion by the police is implicit in the concept of ordered liberty, and as such enforceable against the states through the Due Process Clause, and announcing that it stoutly adhered to the Weeks decision, the court decided that the Weeks exclusionary rule would not then be imposed upon the states as an essential ingredient of the right. The court's reasons for not considering essential to the right to privacy as a curb imposed upon the states by the Due Process Clause, that which decades before had been posited as part and parcel of the Fourth Amendment's limitation upon federal encroachment of individual privacy, were bottomed on factual considerations. While they are not basically relevant to any decision that the exclusionary rule is an essential ingredient of the Fourth Amendment, as the right it embodies is vouchsafed against the states by the Due Process Clause, we will consider the current validity of the factual grounds upon which Wolf was based." The court in Wolf first stated that the contrariety of views of the states on the adoption of the exclusionary rule of Weeks was particularly impressive, and in this connection that it could not brush aside the experience of states which deemed the incidence of such conduct by the police too slight to call for a deterrent remedy by overriding the state's relevant rules of evidence. While in 1949, prior to the Wolf case, almost two-thirds of the states were opposed to the use of the exclusionary rule, now, despite the Wolf case, more than half of those since passing upon it by their own legislative or judicial decision have wholly or partly adopted or adhered to the Weeks rule. Significantly, among those now following the rule is California, which according to its highest court was compelled to reach that conclusion because other remedies have completely failed to secure compliance with the constitutional provisions. In connection with this California case, we note that the second basis elaborated in Wolf in support of its failure to enforce the exclusionary rule against the states was that other means of protection have been afforded the right to privacy. The experience of California that such other remedies have been worthless and futile is buttressed by the experience of other states. The obvious futility of relegating the Fourth Amendment to the protection of other remedies has moreover been recognized by this court since Wolf. Likewise, time has set its face against what Wolf called the weighty testimony of People v. DeFore, 1926. There, Justice, then Judge, Cardozo, rejecting adoption of the Weeks exclusionary rule in New York, had said that the federal rule as it stands is either too strict or too lax. However, the force of that reasoning has been largely vitiated by later decisions of this court. These include the recent discarding of the silver platter doctrine, which allowed federal judicial use of evidence seized in violation of the Constitution by state agents, Elkins v. United States, the relaxation of the formerly strict requirements as to standing to challenge the use of evidence thus seized, so that now the procedure of exclusion, ultimately referable to constitutional safeguards, is available to anyone even legitimately on the premises unlawfully searched, and finally the formulation of a method to prevent the state use of evidence unconstitutionally seized by federal agents. Because there can be no fixed formula, we are admittedly met with recurring questions of the reasonableness of searches, but less is not to be expected when dealing with the Constitution, and at any rate, reasonableness is in the first instance for the trial court to determine. It therefore plainly appears that the factual considerations supporting the failure of the Wolf Court to include the Weeks exclusionary rule when it recognized the enforceability of the right to privacy against the states in 1949, while not basically relevant to the constitutional consideration, could not in any analysis now be deemed controlling.